Tonight, what I want to talk with you about in this series, And You Bug Me, is the inside of conflict and how conflict makes us feel. I'm also going to share with you tonight what for me has been the most important thing for dealing with conflict. I don't know about you, but I want you to think for a moment about how conflict makes you feel. I'm going to tell you how conflict makes me feel. It makes me angry. It makes me frustrated. It makes me feel used. It makes me feel misunderstood. It makes me feel highly agitated and aggravated and just plain hurt. Of course, it depends on the conflict, but I'm talking about those kind that really bother you. Some people have asked me over the years, Mark, is it wrong? You know, I'm a Christian. Is it wrong for me to feel these emotions? The answer to that question is no. God made us emotional beings. And painful things that happen to us, particularly in relationships, they do things to us on the inside. Now the problem comes in when we respond in those emotions. The problem comes in conflict, not only, of course, the beginning of conflict, but how we react to the conflict. And quite often what happens is our emotions just take over and we react and we respond and we interact with the other individual based on how we feel. It's sort of like you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And then they hurt you and then you hurt them some more. And it's just this vicious cycle. I discovered this early in marriage. Although I didn't discover some of the things I'm going to tell you now until a little later on in my marriage. After we played merry-go-round on this stuff. And we go round and round and round and round. The problem was it was like a toilet. It goes round and round and round and round. And pretty soon you're both flushed down to the bottom. And then it can take, depending on your personality and the kind of people you are, it can take anywhere from hours to days to weeks to recover from the emotional outburst that conflict brought about. And sometimes what's interesting is a week later, you can't even remember what it was about. All of us in this room have experienced times in our lives where we needed somebody to vent on. We needed someone who would listen to us. In fact, that is what it takes when you deal with conflict. When you've got all these emotions inside of you, here's the deal. If you don't deal with them, they become toxic to your life. It's kind of like someone poisoned you. And they just kind of fester. And they sit there. And they sit there. And someone once put, you kind of begin stewing in your own juices. And pretty soon, you start to get resentful. Pretty soon, you start to go around with a chip on your shoulder. And pretty soon, you start to have this grudge. It's just there all the time. And your nerves are raw. Right near the surface. And any little thing can set you off. And the reason that's going on is because you've not dealt with the emotions that conflict has brought about. Now, the interesting thing, I'll share this with you, my observation with human nature and dealing with human beings, is that quite often the solution isn't what we think. The solution is if we just get this all worked out. Sometimes, have you noticed, it just doesn't all work out. In fact, if I can be frank, sometimes the things that bug you about people, they aren't going to change. I hate to tell this to you guys that are married, especially if you're newly married, but I've been stuck with some things for 25 years. And so is my wife. And they aren't going to change. There are things about she and I, the way that we do life, the way that we go about life, our temperament, our personality, just plain bugs us. And it's not going to go away. And we've talked about it, cried about it, yelled about it, talked about it. It's still the same. So what are you going to do? Find a new spouse. That's what a lot of people do. You know, of course you learn as you grow and as you mature, hopefully. Well, you're different. You're different than me. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Some of us are from Pluto. and some from Saturn, and some are from nowhere that we would ever know existed. Some things, they just keep happening. They keep happening. And you and I, have got to express those feelings and deal with them. But the question is, who do you express them to? That's really the million-dollar question. Who do you unload these things to? If you're like me, you know, you've tried human beings, and I've not quite met yet a human being who can really handle me. To be honest. You know, I can be all nice and soft and say, well, this is kind of hard for me and this made me feel like this. But if I really let you have it the way I really feel it, well, I haven't met anyone yet who can handle it. Which is, of course, what got me in trouble so many times in my early days of marriage. I just thought, you know, you're supposed to be my understanding helpmate. So why aren't you understanding? Because I can't take it when you're like this. It's too hard for me. Well, what am I supposed to do? Just don't talk to me about it. You ever had that happen to you? Well, maybe you haven't. You know, maybe you guys don't have things happen to you that I do. But anyway, maybe you find something in here tonight you can relate to. All right? All of us need someone who understands us on the deepest level. All of us. There's a lot of people, quite honestly, because of conflict, resulting conflict in their life, and it builds and it builds and it builds with so much anger, they actually get depressed. In fact, one of the number one causes of depression is unresolved anger. Or the unresolved emotions that have come about because of circumstances or situations or relationships. We all need somebody who can and will listen to us. We all need someone who can and will sympathize and empathize with our situation. All of us need someone like that in our life. We all need someone to unburden our heart and our soul to. We need someone who we can just let it all out. And someone who can help us work through the situation. You'd almost think we all need a professional therapist. Now, there may come a time in your life when you do, and where one could be very helpful, particularly someone who's biblically based and can help you see things maybe in a way that you aren't. That's often one of the values of a counselor, is they can step back, they're not emotionally involved, and they can help you see things that you're not seeing. But I want to tell you what has been the single biggest help in my life in the last 26 years. I have discovered who that someone is, and that someone is God. And I discovered this by accident. I want to read a verse to you out of Psalms chapter 62. Now, I don't know if you grew up as a child going to church. I did. I grew up going to a little Baptist church, a little rather conservative Baptist church. These clothing would not be appropriate in my church that I grew up in. Which is one of the reasons I thought I'd start my own. Then I can just wear a ripped denim jacket and it's cool. You know. No, not really. I'm teasing. But in my church, there were certain ways you talked to God. You talked to God in a very pious and a very King James version of the language. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art here today, and we ask Thy blessing on this food of which we are about to partaketh into our stomacheth. You know, it was something like that, okay? So, I'm newly married. I'm in about my fifth year of marriage. And this one particular day, it was just, I was coming unglued. I am the kind of person that can come unglued, by the way. I hate to admit this, but I guess, you know, you might as well know, there's a little bit of Bobby Knight in me. I didn't ask to be made this way. I just want you all to know that, okay? I relate a little bit to Mike Ditka and Bobby Knight. I'm not happy about everything they do, but I can certainly relate to them. And I could tell things were just building, and so It was winter time out. We lived in this little trailer in the woods, and I grabbed my coat, and I grabbed my gloves, and I stuck on my boots, and I never wear a hat, and this time I wore a hat because I knew I was going to stay out for a while. And I said, Kathy, I said, I got to get out of here. If I don't get out of here, I'm going to say some stuff I regret. I'll be back later. So I went down in the woods, and I went way down in the woods. And I'm pacing back and forth like I'm some caged lion. And I'm back in this going, God, I'm sick and tired of this marriage and this woman and this stuff. And I wasn't using words quite like that. I don't know. I just started doing what came natural. I thought, well, you know, Psalm 62 says, O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is a refuge to us. Well, if you look up the word pour, you might put it this way. Dump on God. Because God invites you to, and God can handle it. My spouse can. In fact, I've not yet met a human who really can handle it. But God can. I discovered it quite by accident. That particular day, I just didn't know what else to do. I didn't even recall that verse at this time. But what was happening was I was pacing back and forth, and I was thinking all this really awful stuff, okay? Just being honest. It was just boiling up in me, and I'm thinking, and I stopped, and I thought, who am I fooling? God can read my mind. What am I ashamed of? I just need to get this off my chest and talk to God about it. So I just let it go, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm just pretty soon tears are streaming down my face, and God, I just hate sometimes the way I am. And then I'm just going on some more, and pretty soon you can see the grass where I've worn through the snow. And I'm back and forth, and I'm back and forth. And finally, I just got everything off. Every single thing that was on my mind, it was weighing down on me in this situation, I got it off. And then God started to do His work. He took the burden just like He promised He would. And God started to do His work. He started to calm me down. Pretty soon, tears of gratitude as I thought about how fortunate I was to have a wife who would stick with me. And I started to thank God for my wife. An hour later, I walked back up that hill and walked into the trailer and apologized for my attitude. Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, give all of your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. See, all of us in this auditorium tonight, we can learn to dump on God and be real with God. We can learn the skill, develop the skill of dumping on God. We can all learn to vent our emotions to Him and express to Him our pain. All of us can let Him take our burdens and our hurts. I'd like to read to you from Psalms chapter 55. I have a couple of illustrations tonight of the psalmist. Some of you may think to yourself, you know, I'm not as spiritual as David was. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. God had a very significant and a very special relationship with David. And yet David was a man of tremendous faults. David experienced great highs in his life and experienced great lows in his life. As a young man, David sort of took the kingdom of Israel by storm. When at approximately 17 years of age, he went out to see his brothers in battle. And they were all afraid of a man 9 foot tall who would walk out every day and taunt the armies of Israel. David said, I'll fight him. Who does he think he is, taunting God? His brothers laughed at him. David took a stone, 5 of them, and a sling. All approximately 5 foot eight or 5 foot nine of David's 140 pound frame. And he ran out to meet this man. And the Philistine taunted him and laughed at him. And David threw his sling hit him in the forehead, he fell to the earth and he took his sword and cut off his head. That was David's inaugural day before the kingdom of Israel. It wasn't too long after that that King Saul, jealous of him, starts to chase him around the countryside. And David starts lying and hiding among the Philistines, the arch enemies of Israel. And then God finally gives David the kingdom. David's going along his merry way, just great. Except one day when he's supposed to be at battle, he wasn't. He's up on his roof walking around, and there's a woman on the next roof, naked, bathing. He didn't just look at her, he wants her. And he commands his servants to go get her. He gets her pregnant. She's married to a man named Uriah, who's out fighting David's battles. And David calls him back home, tries to get him to sleep with his own wife, and he won't, because at this moment his integrity is greater than David's. And David has him killed. Now, I don't think there's anybody in this room who's quite gone that far. Eventually, David's life, there was more great victories and there was more great pain. His own son tried to kill him. Another one of his sons raped his daughter. David's life was full of highs and lows, and yet he loved God. He loved God. And when God reproved him, he bent his heart under the reproving hand of God. He suffered greatly because of what he did with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet came and spoke to David, told him a little story about a little lamb, and it pierced David's heart. And then Nathan the prophet pointed a finger right at the king and said, "You were the man in the story." And God took Bathsheba's firstborn child. He gave David three options. You have war, or you have, I think it was famine, and the third is, "I take your child." David said, "The nation didn't sin, I sinned." This same man, listen to how he talks to God. "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me, hunting me down in their anger. My heart is in anguish. The terror of death overpowers me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, how I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far away from this wild storm of hatred. But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I plead aloud in my distress, and the Lord hears me. Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to be shaken and fall apart." You ever been in a situation where you just feel like you're going to fall apart? I have been. And I'm sure you have as well. I want to read one of the Psalms to you, and then I have a video to illustrate this principle this evening. Psalm 77. "I cry out to God without holding back." See, that's the secret right there. That's the problem. And I share something with you. The reason God does not seem more real to most of you is because you have failed to be real with God. God is close to the brokenhearted when the brokenhearted expose their broken heart to Him. The problem is, we're still caught up with the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I got to tell you, I can't truly be bothered. I was in Sam's Club the other day, and right by the counter, there's all these book of prayers. Prayer for the president, prayer for the nation. And I thought to myself, well, that's nice. I opened it up. It was even very Christian prayers. But somewhere along the line, we've got to get rid of the rote and the repetition and get real and honest with God. In other words, have you ever talked to God like you've talked to your spouse when you've been in the heat of battle? That's what I'm talking about. You see, that's the catharsis that your soul desperately needs. And that's what the psalmist is saying. "I cry out to God without holding back. I offer my complaint to Him. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I pray with hands lifted towards heaven, pleading. There can be no joy for me until He acts. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for His help. I cannot sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and I think about the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will He never again show me favor? Is His unfailing love gone? Have His promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has He slammed the door on His compassion? And I said, this is my fate, that the blessing of the Most High has changed to hatred. That's honesty. Can you imagine saying to God, God, where are you? God, it seems to me like you've deserted me. It seems like the stuff I've been trusting you for isn't happening. I don't see any blessing, Lord. It feels to me like you hate me. We can think to ourselves, I thought I'd be struck with lightning if I talked like that. Isn't that sacrilegious? No. It's actually what religious people do. It's actually what the deeply religious person does. Rather than spewing on all those around them. When I was a child, there was a song, and I don't remember. I think it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We used to sing it, but it has this one line that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I want you to look back on your life later tonight when you go home and think, how much needless pain, how much emotional turmoil, how many sleepless nights have I endured simply because I did not give it to God? I didn't unload my burdens. What do you think Jesus meant when He said, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest? I'm going to pause for a moment, go off the stage, and I'm going to show you a video. It's from the movie The Apostle. And I want you to notice his prayer.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
What's going on here? Whose funeral is that tend to here? Don't tell me it's mine.
I don't know how to begin, Miss.
Well, open your mouth and just kind of get to it. That's the best way I know.
Seems that Sister Jessie don't want you among us anymore. And she's going to take the church away from you through proper channels. That's why we're here.
How come I knew that? How come I knew that? Let me sit down on this one. Well, I tell you. How come I knew that? I was just there. You're all here. I mean, I was just there. And you're here already.
She wanted it to come from some portion of the church body.
She did? Huh. I see.
She can't do that, son. You know she can't.
Oh, yes, she can. I imagine she can do about anything she wants to at this point, can't she, Brother Edwards?
It all happened too quick, like.
What are you telling me?
It seems that a proper church vote was taken according to the church bylaws and laws of the state of Texas for nonprofit organizations. You helped set it up the way it is.
Well, when was the proper vote taken, seeing that I wasn't there?
The day before yesterday. That's what we were told.
We're sorry.
It's just such a shock.
I don't know what else to say. I just don't know what else to say.
You've delivered your message and I've received it.
Thank you very much.
Somebody, I say somebody, has taken my wife. They stole my church. That's a temple I built for you. And I'm going to yell at you because I'm mad at you. I can't. Take it. Give me a sign or something. Blow this pain out of me. Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give me peace. Give me peace. I don't know who's been fooling with me. You are the devil. I don't know. And I won't even bring the human into this. He's just a mutt, so I'm not even going to bring him into it. But I'm confused. I'm mad. I love you, Lord. I love you. But I'm mad at you. I am mad at you.
So deliver me tonight, Lord. What should I do? Now tell me, should I lay hands on myself? What should I do? I know I'm a sinner and a once in a while woman, but I'm your servant. Since I was a little boy, you brought me back from the dead. I'm your servant. What should I do? Tell me. I've always called you Jesus. You always called me Sonny. What should I do, Jesus? This is Sonny talking now.
All right.
You let me down.
Hello?
Miss Huey, it sounds like you got a wild man over there carrying on and hollering and whatever. I'm just, who is that over there? Is that your son or who is that?
Oh, well, that is my son. That he's, I tell you, ever since he was a little bitty boy,
uh-huh.
He sometimes talks to the Lord and sometimes he yells at the Lord. And tonight he just happens to be yelling at him.
Well, could you tell him to talk a little softer or whatever? Because people got to get their sleep, Miss Huey. Do you know what time it is? Hello?
Now I'm
calling you, Jesus. Talk to Sonny. You don't talk to Sonny tonight, it seems like. But I can't get you. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. I can relate to that a lot. About a week ago, I woke up, it was like 3:30 in the morning, and I don't know. I thought, oh man, 3:30 in the morning. I get up fairly early, but not 3:30. I was laying on my bed. I was like, I had caffeine or something. I'm not sure. I had some stuff on my mind. And I finally, it was like 4 o'clock. And I thought, this is pointless. I'm just going to get up, take a shower to get my day started. So I went to my shower and I got my clothes on and came out and thought, you know, Lord, we need to have a talk. I just went on the deck. And I just started talking. Just pouring out my heart to God. It was almost as if the Lord knew we needed to talk. And the Lord knew we needed a date. And we needed to communicate with each other. You see, all of us go through difficult, difficult conflicts in our lives. All of us. There are two simple things that I want to share with you tonight that will help you, in my opinion, deal with conflict in a very healthy and effective manner. Pray often and keep it real. Last week I told you you need to think first and speak with love. This week you pray often and keep it real. You know the interesting thing about prayer is it clears the emotional arteries. And if you don't learn to do this, you're going to get clogged arteries. Your emotional cholesterol level is going to be very high, and it's going to put tremendous pressure on your emotional heart. And you're going to feel pressed a lot. See, I'll just be really honest with you. The secret to conflict is not always resolving it with everybody. Sometimes you can't. I've been in situations, relational situations where there were just things that were just out of my control. There was just nothing I could do, nothing I could say. The other individual or individuals seemed unwilling to want to work it out. So what do? Put your life on hold for several years until it finally gets resolved? I remember when my father left, I was pretty close to my father. For quite a number of years. I've not seen my father now in almost 13 years. My father doesn't know any of my children at all. He wouldn't know him if he passed him on the street. He's kind of a different man than I grew up with. Whenever you have a situation with a relative like that or someone who you looked up to or loved, how do you deal with that? I'll tell you how I deal with it. This is what I'm telling you tonight. If I thought, you know, what am I going to have to do? Write a 25-page letter to my father? Fly to wherever my father is, which I don't know where he's at? Track him down through the internet? And have this huge conversation? Well, it wouldn't get me anywhere. Not with my father. I vented everything I ever needed to say to my father. I've already told everything to my Heavenly Father that I ever want to tell my Father. And after I told him all that, God brought peace to my heart. And now I just pray for my Father. Because I realize he's a broken man. I realize he's a foolish man. I realize he's a hurting man. And I realize he's a stupid man. I can't change those things. So first of all, you and I have got to learn to pray often. You know prayer, if I can be frank, it's like telling people to exercise. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be honest with you. About every person in this room knows for a fact. We know the facts, we know the information, that exercise is good for you, it'll greatly enhance your life. In fact, it's been shown to deal with depression in many people as well as certain drugs. Many of us here know that our life would be better if we got fit, but we won't do it. I don't know sometimes what it will take. If it'll take the doctor telling us, you know, you've got 3 months to live. Unless you trim down, unless you get active and start doing something, you're going to shorten your life. I don't know about you, but I don't like to go through life feeling bad. I really don't. Personally, I like feeling good. And so I realize that the only way I'm going to be able to feel good most of the time isn't by having great circumstances. See, that's what we think. That's one of the reasons why so many Americans want money. They believe money gives them the ability to control enough circumstances in their life to make them happy. But they're wrong. See, that's the whole problem. The problem is it's a mirage. It's an illusion. Happiness comes when you have peace with God, when you have a relationship with God, not when all the circumstances in your life are great, but when you're able to take those things to God and unburden them, and you're able to kind of, it's almost as though you levitate, but not really, above the circumstances of life. My life isn't dictated to me by whether or not people love me or hate me. And I have people in my life, and have had actually for 25 years, that hate me. I don't enjoy that. It started with my mother-in-law to be. I didn't ask for that. I didn't do anything to get her to hate me but love her daughter and ask her daughter to marry me. And the venom came for years and years and years and years, and now it's happening to my son. The exact same way, only except it isn't directed at him, it's directed at me, the cult leader. So do I go through life, you know, with a cloud hanging over my head? Woe is me. My life's so bad. Well, there are days I feel like that. Certainly, there are days I feel like that. And I go talk to God. You can talk to God in your car. You can talk to God in your room. You can talk to God on your job if you find a private place. But you know, my favorite thing to do is I have about 4 places in this city that I can go to be very alone. One of them is about 3 miles from where I live now. It's a gravel road in the middle of the city, a long lane in the woods. Hardly anybody knows where it's at. And I go there. Today was one of those days, and I spent 45 minutes just walking and talking to God. And then if people come there, then I have another place in the woods, and I go there and hide deep in the woods, and I just talk to God out loud. And then if there's no place to go, and I go in my garage and I shut and lock the door so nobody can get in. All it takes for me is a place where no one else can hear me. Don't want nobody else hearing me. If all else fails, just get in your car and drive down the freeway and find a place to park and cry out in your car. It's the greatest conflict resolver that I've ever discovered. And the second is keep it real. You tell God exactly how you feel and exactly what you're going through. Express yourself to God and ask Him to help you. Ask God for His help. Tell God what you need. Ask Him to give you the grace and strength to deal with that obnoxious individual in your life. And you know what I found? God has been answering that prayer in my life. For 26 years, God has helped me in a variety of different situations deal with the difficultness in relationships. Some of you may or may not know this, but you know, Brent and I, we founded this church together. And Brent and I, we are, and you know this by now, as different as you get. Our common denominator is we love Jesus Christ. And we have a common desire to bring Him glory and to help people. That's about it. He says black, I say red. He says things ought to go this way, I think they ought to go that way. There are times, and I know there were times for him, it was just the two of us, and we'd have a meeting. Sometimes we'd have a meeting of the minds. Sometimes he wouldn't have a meeting of the minds. We never really, that I recall, maybe he recalls differently, got into a shouting match. But I'll tell you, there was times I left those meetings absolutely drained with every vestige of energy gone out of my being. And I went home and had some talks with God. And I'm sure Brent did the same. And I believe, I'll just be very honest with you, and others have told us this, I'm not just making this up. I believe one of the biggest reasons God has blessed Evergreen is because of the unity of two extremely different men. The only way that was possible is not because we resolved every difference. Many of them, we just left. We just don't see eye to eye on that. See, it's okay. It's okay to have differences of opinions with people. It's okay. But you've got to find common unity. And the only way I've been able to do that is pray often and keep it real. Next week, I'm going to talk with you about conflict erasers. How to minimize conflict. How to even avoid it before it can get started. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you are the God of all grace, that you are the God who can handle and deal with our feelings and our emotions and our struggles. And I ask you, God, that you'd help these men and women here tonight, whether they're 7 years old or they're 70 years old or anywhere in between. You listen to whoever comes to talk to you. You invite us to come. You command us to come. You desire us to come. Help us, Lord, to come and talk to you just the way we feel, and let you take our burdens in Jesus' name.